For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to Take the Black, the Winter is Coming, Game of Thrones podcast. Oh my god, I am such an emotional wreck, I don't even really know where to start this week, but we're going to talk about that awful scene at the end of Game of Thrones, episode 6 of season 5, unbent, unbowed, unbroken. But before we get there, we're going to talk about a bunch of other things that happened that seems to have gotten lost in the episode because of that last scene. So before we get started, I am your host, Razor. You can find me on Twitter at @House_Razor. You can find my other co-host, Isis, on Twitter at
IJAMELTON, or you can find me also on Tumblr, superhero-omightyisis.
And you can find my other amazing co-host, Luke Turner, at
Turner Luke.
At Turner Luke. Okay, so let's get right into the episode. You can also send questions into our live show that we have co-sponsored with Entertainment Weekly called Wick Live, and you can hashtag Wick. So hashtag two hashtags, Take the Black and Wick, and your questions will probably more than likely be answered on our live show and this podcast. So let's get into what happened last night. I kind of want to skip around a little bit. We're not going to go in sequential order. But first things first, let's talk about that beginning scene with Arya cleaning the bodies. Isis, how did you feel about Arya's, her job now, which is like cleaning the dead?
You know, she was doing it with such precision that I felt like she must have been there for quite some time or has cleaned a lot of bodies.
Well, you notice they kept changing the corpses. Like, she did multiple corpses.
Yes, but I mean, I'm saying, like, she has become very proficient at washing these dead bodies.
Right.
I got a little creeped out when when she had to wash the feet thing. I just have a thing about feet, and I just don't want to look at them. But no, I thought it was really interesting. But, you know, again, I felt like this is one of those things that they make you do something of repetition, you know, to learn it well. And I think that's, you know, a whole theme with No Face. I'm going to call him No Face Yoda. And No Face Yoda is that he, you know, that's what he's trying to teach her, is that through repetition, she will get, you know, she'll do something really well.
So now you've renamed two characters on the show, by the way. You've renamed Dario Naharis to Dario Nohaini. And now you've renamed Jochen Hygar to No Face Yoda. I like that. I'm down with that.
And if you follow me on Twitter, that's the kind of responses you're gonna get.
Luke, you're a Star Wars fan. You approve of that name change?
Yeah, I think I'm good with it.
You're down with that. So Luke, let me ask you this: what did you think of the ass whooping that Arya took at the hands of the Faceless Man?
I thought it was pretty legit, and she finally admitted she's in love with the Hound.
I knew I was going to ask you. I was leading you towards that question.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to.
She couldn't deny it.
I thought it. Exactly. Like, she could not. Like, she said she hated him, and she got her ass beat. Like, you know, No Face Yoda, he saw through that.
And then
he knew she was.
Well, that's the whole. So that's the whole thing, too, is, you know, because the Hound was on her list. And when he was wounded, he said, kill me, but she had too much – she couldn't go through with it because she loved him. She couldn't kill him. So
that's an interesting theory.
So that's why she had to walk away. Like, we all thought it was because she was like, whatever, die a slow and painful death. But it was more along the lines of, I love you, I can't kill you.
You said that love you, like, really creepy.
I know.
It made me very uncomfortable.
That low voice, that low, I love you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Ira, she got her ass whooped. Arya had so many different things happen this episode. Like, one of my favorite reactions, probably, definitely this season and maybe the series thus far, is whenever the waif, the other girl, asked her something about, now, am I lying? When she tells the whole story, she goes, am I lying? And Arya looks at her and goes, what? I love that response. It's like you're playing a lying game, and your only response is what?
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna lie. Like, she was telling that story, and I'm over here just I'm eating it up. I'm just up, just eating spoonfuls of this story up. And then like Arya goes like what? And I'm like, girl, don't worry about it. I was fooled too. I was fooled.
Oh, I was definitely fooled. Because they kind of sprinkled in a little bit of her backstory from the books into that story she told. Mm-hmm. So I fell for it at first. And then I was like, oh, God, she's lying. Don't listen to her. She's lying. But it was too late, and she lost the game of faces. So we're going to come back to Arya. But let's get over to the bromance that is forming with Tyrion and Jorah as they traverse through, I guess it's Valyria. I mean, it doesn't look like Valyria that I thought Valyria would look like, but I'm assuming they're still in Valyria. Luke, was that a complete and total unbro move to tell Jorah about his dad?
I don't remember a lot from that scene with them other than the cock vendor.
the cock vendor.
So, like, yeah, like, I remember that part, and that's about the only part I remember.
Yeah, well, when you have a scene where Tyrion is begging for his life loudly, and he says a line like, the guy says, well, a dwarf's cock is a dwarf's cock, and he's like, no, want to bet?
Yeah,
what was
right.
his line? What was his line? I forget his exact
he was
line,
like,
anyway.
Basically, he said, it'll be...
Guess again.
Yeah, it'll
guess
be again. It'll be dwarf size. He said, guess again.
Yeah, that was a great line. Oh, my God. And, you know, Peter Dinklage, along with... the guy who plays Littlefinger, Aidan Gillian, is that his last name? They always get, like, the best lines. Like, even Littlefinger had a great line tonight, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, the cock merchant with Mr. Echo from Lost, or, conversely, Atabisi from Oz. The whole scene was a great scene. But before that, before they're traveling across the mountainside, the beautiful country that looks like Ireland, they had that moment where... I mean, it was kind of a bro moment, Isis. Luke doesn't remember, but surely you remember the tender moment they shared.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by accident, Tyrion, you know, tells, you know, Mormont, Jorah, that, you know, his father's dead. And to be honest, I didn't remember who his dad was until I was, you know, talking to my husband, and he was just like, oh, yeah, he's this guy, you know, that was on Beyond the Wall, and, you know, they were at the guy that was making those babies, you know, having babies with his own babies. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that guy. He was, like, the good guy. And I was just like, oh, that's right. Okay. So I was – it made total sense that that would be his father, you know.
Right.
Because I think that Jorah or Sir Friendzone is a really honorable person. But I love the fact that Tyrion was kind of making fun of him. Like, dude, what is your play here? Like, you're going to bring me over there and you're going to, you know, bring me to her hands. She may kill me. She may give you the army. I mean, she's, you know, he's trying to figure out, like, dude, what is your play here? What is your end game? Because everybody does everything for an end game, for something.
That was another great line from Tyrion. He goes, so now she's the queen. Hurrah.
Yes.
Long live the queen. Long live the queen.
Yeah,
hurrah.
Just because she's a Targaryen doesn't mean that she should be, you know, the queen and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he made so many great points and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he is really just trying to get down to see, because he can't deal with somebody that if he doesn't know where they're coming from. You know, if they're coming from an emotional point, he can't deal with that. Strategic, yes. But, like, emotional, you can't really
do
that.
I still don't think that Dany's going to really care that Tyrion's a Lannister or not. You have to remember, she's never stepped foot, and Tyrion mentioned that last night. Daenerys has never stepped foot in Westeros. She doesn't know anybody from Westeros except for Barristan, who's not dead, and Jorah, who's coming back to her. So all she's got to go on are stories that's been told to her. So there's really no reason to hate Tyrion Lannister, except for the fact that her father caused the rest of her family to die. But anyway, and her whatever. So
if, look, if she's not going to kill people who have killed her Unsullied, I think
Tyrion's gonna,
yeah,
gonna get
Tyrion's gonna be okay.
So we had Tyrion and Jorah get captured by the slavers, and it was kind of a nice little segue because now they're headed towards Meereen, Slaver's Bay, and it's kind of nice that the slavers are giving them a free ride on a ship. Like, they had to walk before, now they're getting a free ride. I think that was pretty nice of the slavers. Plus, they're going to see a cock merchant, and I'm not really sure what a cock merchant is, but how does one become a cock merchant, Luke?
I think I'll defer that question to Isis. Isis?
Yes, because obviously cock merchants are female.
Oh, man.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, if it was a cock merchant, was a female, she would know that dwarf penises and regular men penises are the same. So, anyway,
you can say cock.
Yeah,
said cock.
So cock. did you like how I said that?
Yeah, that was really creepy too. Like, you just called Luke out for being creepy. That was super creepy.
Okay. Well, anyway, I don't know. Like, that to me was such a funny exchange. Like, I was laughing, and then the moment when Tyrion was like, "No, you know, they don't." There's not a difference between, you know, a dwarf penis and a regular man's penis. I was just like, huh, so you're hung.
Well, I took it to mean, like, when he says guess again, I took it to mean, like, he's got, like, a third leg. Like, he's kicked,
yeah,
you could call him,
like,
kickstand.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm going to go with that he has a kickstand. So, yeah, that episode could only have been made better if maybe we would have gotten to see something. But it's okay. I'm okay.
Yeah, I could do without that.
But I don't know where these cock merchants are, and, like, I mean, I wonder if they're, like, Chinese, like, medicine herbs. Like, they'll take the cock, dry it, and then, like, grind it up or something.
Like, make free penis wine? Like,
yeah, beer. Like, it, you know, like a vintage.
Yeah, nice little vintage.
I don't know, but I'm interested to see who this cock merchant is.
I just don't know how one becomes a cock merchant. Like, is it a family business? Do you go into the family business to become a cock merchant? I don't know. Maybe you go to school to learn cock merchantry,
yeah.
I guess. I don't know. But so leaving Tyrion and Jorah, going over to King's Landing, where Littlefinger apparently has a time machine. And he can travel literally 1,000 miles from Winterfell to King's Landing in the span of, like, a day. Because even Cersei says, well, Winterfell's 1,000 miles away. Well, Littlefinger was just in Winterfell talking to Roose Bolton. So, like, that's been a running joke here lately with Littlefinger, because he pretty much just warps around the Westeros map anywhere he wants to go. And I don't know how the hell he's doing it.
Well, maybe
anyway,
he's doing it on the maybe this is a show thing, not a book thing.
Well, I don't even know. I'm pretty sure that they have to streamline his – they don't want to show him traveling everywhere, but, you know, at least, you know, make it seem like a few days have passed. Like, when I was watching the show last night, I did not feel like enough time had passed for Littlefinger to travel down the King's Road from Winterfell in the far north to – Lannisport, or not Lannisport, I apologize, King's Landing. So, I don't know. Maybe it's been a few weeks. I don't know. But I liked his line when he met up with Lancel in King's Landing, and Lancel tried to bully him, and he says, "We both peddle in fantasies, it's just mine's more interesting." That was such a perfect line for Littlefinger. I loved it. Luke, what do you think Littlefinger's ultimate gameplay is here by turning on... Do you think he turned on Sansa, or do you think he's furthering his game because he knows nothing's going to happen to Sansa from Cersei?
I think that he is, because he gives her the example, like, let the two enemies fight for Winterfell and then move in and take over from there. So, I mean, he's setting himself up as Warden of the North, which is smart. I don't know. I guess at that point he'll be in charge of the Erie and the North. So, I mean, essentially his plan to Roose Bolton was, you know, the Erie and Winterfell teamed up. We took down a dynasty. So now basically he's done the same thing, except now he doesn't have to work with Roose Bolton. He's running the whole show himself.
I kind of feel like Littlefinger's hedging his bets at this point. Like, right now he's a friend to everybody. You know, like he's the Lord Protector of the Vale because Sweet Robin hasn't come of age to run the Vale yet. So now he's got the entire Warden of the East thing going on as the Warden of the Vale or whatever. He is vying. He's going to get the, like Cersei said, she's going to get the king to write a royal decree to make him a Warden of the North. He's already Lord of Harrenhal, which, if you guys don't know this, by being Lord of Harrenhal, that almost, and I'm pretty sure this happened in the show, that gives him control over the Riverlands. So that basically makes him Lord of the Riverlands, where House Tully is. That gives him control of the North, where Winterfell is, and control of the Vale, where the Eyrie is. Littlefinger's, he's hedging his bets. He's about to become the most powerful man in Westeros, it feels like. Like, this guy went from being a moneylender, which Cersei calls him out on, to one of the most powerful players in the Game of Thrones, which is really cool to me. I really don't know what his end game is, but I hope that he's not diamond out Sansa for real. Like, I hope that he's going to come back and save her because, you know, she's going to need it. What did you think of the return of the Queen of Thorns, Lady Olenna?
Okay, this was probably, like, the bitch fight that I was waiting to happen. Like, I was like, oh my god, this is going to be epic, okay? We have Lady Olenna, we have Cersei, and Olenna is like, I'm not giving you any, I'm not going to bow down to you, I'm not here to coddle you, I'm here to get my nephew, who, yes, likes dudes, we all know this, and
to, what's her grandson?
Oh, grandson, sorry, yeah, that's right, grandson, and, you know, she's gonna go ahead and save him, and she just was not having any of her shit, okay?
I loved it.
I loved every second of it. In the way, you know, Lady Olenna and Cersei, they were battling back and forth, and I'm gonna tell you, Cersei may have won this fight, but she has not won the war.
I kind of feel like it was back and forth, and the first round went to Lady Olenna because she called Cersei a tart. She called her out on writing nothing down, like, because when she walked out of the room, Cersei puts the quill down.
Yeah.
Or obviously Cersei wasn't writing anything. She made fun of Cersei's dead dad, and she said that thing about there's no veil here, like veiled threats, there's no veil here. And then when she walked up, she gave her that look, like, she gave her the stink eye, mm-hmm. and she got up and left. So I kind of feel like round one went to a Lady Olenna, but I think you're right. Cersei won the big battle this time, this show, because of what happened during Loras's trial. Luke, you had to know that birthmark was coming back into play.
I completely forgot about it until he walked in and said something about it. I did when they called Margaery on the stand. I was like, this is not going to bode well. Like, for anybody. But this does, I think that, I still think the Faith Militant are going to, take out Cersei. That's going to happen because if they're willing to put the queen in jail for lying about something stupid like this, what are they going to do when they figure out, or they already know that she's been incestuous.
Yeah, you gotta think that with Lancel being one of the Faith Militant, brother Lancel now, you gotta think that he confessed his sins about lying with his cousin.
Yeah.
And about the plot to kill Robert Baratheon.
Yeah.
By getting him drunk.
I think that their storyline, I think that eventually they try to take down the king because of that. But it doesn't work, and so they'll probably end up getting all slaughtered. But in the meantime, they might take Cersei with them.
Well, here's my thing. You bring up a good point about the king. And Isis, I want to get your thoughts on this. Tommen had a perfect chance to be like the heroic king and the heroic husband. And he ended up being a huge, gigantic pussy in the end and not saving Margaery from the faith. What would you do had your husband just sat there while you were being dragged off in chains? And he had the power to send his guard with their swords to kill these idiots in robes.
I will tell you this. If I get out of there, he will meet my pointy end. Okay? I'm just saying. There is no way in hell you let your wife, your queen, your first go down like that. There's just no way in hell. And it was kind of sad to see that, you know, I mean, as lovable as little Tommen is, he was ill-equipped to be a husband, a king, and all this. And purposely so, because, you know, his mom is obviously not going to help him or anything. But yeah, as soon as I got out, he would meet with some type of misfortune, quick, fast, in a hurry. His mom first, and then Tommen. Because I would have to say, like, look, you chose your mother over me.
Yeah,
your mother.
That was a really bad thing. Like, Luke, you gotta think that Tommen's not getting more sexy time out of this. Like, it's over for Tommen.
Oh, he's been in a dry spout since what's-his-name's been in jail. So
he ain't getting no love.
It's going to be a long, long time.
I feel like the series is pointing towards Cersei destroying her house. Like, think about it for a second, if you will. And I'm not going off any book knowledge here. I'm just going off what I've seen on the show. We started this season with a flashback of Cersei getting that prophecy from Maggie the Frog about her children ending up with golden shrouds and blah, blah, blah. And ever since then, it's been a slow decline into madness for Cersei. But she's drinking more. She did things like she equipped the Faith Militant. She brought them back. That was all Cersei. She did it under the guise of the king. So she armed the branch of the religious military that could cause her more harm than anyone else, which was a huge mistake because her cousin became a Faith Militant and he knows all her secrets. She is jeopardizing the alliance between House Lannister and House Tyrell, which, by the way, Lady Olenna mentioned last night. Do you not realize that all your soldiers and all your wheat and gold are coming from House Tyrell? So let's go ahead and drop that alliance, and King's Landing and Westeros is going to descend into like chaos and utter war, all because Cersei wants to be a guy. She wants to be a ruler. She's got that complex where she wants to be a lord, because in Westeros, like it or not, and this is not me being anti-feminist, in Westeros, women don't rule. And so a woman like Cersei, she has got this complex, plus daddy didn't love her enough, he didn't like treat her like one of his sons, blah, blah, blah. So now here she is, causing all this mayhem and chaos, and I feel like it's going to come back and bite her in the ass. What do you think about that theory there, Isis? What do you think about the whole power struggle as a female in a world full of men?
Well, I mean, I think that's accurate. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with you. She is descending into madness. I mean, she has, you know, has her daughter far away from her. Her son has died. Her brother/lover is now trying to, you know, get her daughter back and you know, home, but he only has one arm, and she really doesn't think a whole lot of him anymore. So, you know, her son Tommen, who is very cute and everything, has a wife who, you know, basically, you know, is really after her as well. So I can understand where she feels like she has nobody that has her back. She is at this on her own, and homegirl is slipping. She doesn't know it yet, but she has already slipped by getting in line with this group, the faith or whatever.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know it yet, but she has already messed up, and it's going to come to bite her in the butt. I just want to know, who is it going to be? Is it it going to be the Faith? Is it going to be a Stark? Who is going to be the one that gives it to her at the end? You know, is it going to be Lady Olenna? You know, there's so many people that want that opportunity to stick it to her, literally. And at this point, I just want to know who it's going to be. I mean, I would love to say that it's going to be Arya. You know, she's on the list. And right. So that's the one I'm hoping for. So I don't want her to die quite yet until Arya's got the face changing thing going on. And then, you know, then we can go on from there. But yeah, I think she's slipping. She is losing it and everything. And she's going to descend into madness.
Speaking of Arya and face changing, Luke, what did you think of the room full of faces? What was your first reaction to that?
I thought it was pretty cool. Like I thought, and maybe it still is, but I had assumed that the face changing stuff was just magic instead of being like a Mission Impossible gimmick. But either way, I thought it was pretty legit. I did like when Jaqen H'ghar was like, a girl is not ready to become no one yet, but a girl is ready to become someone else. I was
right.
Like, okay, here we go.
Here we go. It's about to get cool. Yeah, no, I thought that was a really awesome scene. Isis, what did you think about before that, Arya giving the gift to that sick little girl? Like, she had to tell her a complete and total lie, which gained her access to the Faces room. But does this get chalked up to her murder tally?
You know, I thought it was... And of course, I thought the entire time, I was saying the entire time, this is a test. This is a test, Arya. Come on, you can do this. You can do this. And I thought Arya was doing it not because it was a test, but because she wanted to give that young girl peace, that she's been hurting and she's been in pain. The parents can't care for her anymore. And I thought it was more of kind of like a mercy killing, like, here, I'm going to have mercy on you. Here, drink this water that's poisonous or whatever. And you're going to go ahead and, you know, you're going to go – in her mind, she's like, she's going to go to a better place. I'll wash her. I'll take care of her and everything like that. And she won't be in pain anymore. And she has, you know, brothers and sisters. And I think that's what really struck her more than anything, because she's been on her own for a long time and been the only child in her circle. So I think that's probably why she did it.
I like that you just said the word mercy. Now, let me remind you guys that Isis and Luke, my co-hosts, are unsullied. They've not read the books. They don't know what's going to happen in the books. They've not read sample chapters from The Winds of Winter, the next book that's coming out from George R.R. Martin. But I will tell them this. There is a chapter that he's already released called Mercy, and it's about Arya. So I'm glad you brought that up. You completely brought that up out of the blue. As an unsullied, you said mercy, and
I'm amazing.
Awesome.
What can I say?
You're amazing. That was awesome.
No, it really was. It was a great moment, to be honest.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. It was. You know, we've had a lot of those moments this season, but that was a very poignant death scene, and it changed Arya's path from being, I guess, I don't know the word I'm looking for, a janitor, basically, to be an acolyte. Now she's an acolyte of the Faceless Men. She's going to start getting missions to go out and do stuff, I'm sure, now. So,
well, you know, this is something, and I didn't mention this last night, and I want to get your take on it. I felt like she's leaving some of her Stark persona behind, whereas the Starks don't lie. They tell the truth. They, you know, even at cost to themselves and a cost to their family. But she's still a Stark, but she had to learn to be a Stark a different way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, Arya really stopped being a Stark the moment she killed the stable boy in King's Landing. When she stabbed the stable boy in the stomach with needle to escape, that's kind of the moment where she, even though it was something she had to do because the stable boy was going to turn her into the Lannisters, she had to kill him. That was her first killing. That was her first murder. And since then, it's been just, you know, crime and murder and lies. And so she's learning basically to survive on her own. She's the least Stark of all the Starks. I agree with that 100%. And I think you're right. I think she has to shed more of it. Like she even mentioned that, you know, of her father was killed in battle and she got spanked for it. She got whooped for it. So she's shedding all of her Stark nobility, and we're going to see somebody completely different, which I'm really excited for. So we've got all kinds of cool things going on all over Westeros and Essos. We didn't see anything from Meereen, but we did have we got to talk about it, guys. We had our little dove, Sansa, got married last night, and the wedding night did not go as Sansa wanted it to go. So, Isis, I'm going to let you talk about how you felt during that entire scene. Break it down for us. Give us a female point of view.
Okay, so the very first moment that we get in there is Sansa is getting a bath, is getting clean, and it's Ramsay's, I guess, girlfriend, woman, whatever, concubine or whatever. She is like basically telling her, you know, how Ramsay is, and you know, she's not saying it like, you know, laying it right on the table, but she's telling her, throwing down like, hey, this is how he is. You know, we've, you know, killed people. We've, you know, had dogs run after them. And so just because you think you're his wife, don't think that you're safe. Okay. So I thought that was very, very interesting. I thought it was really cool how, Sansa, you know, went back at her and just didn't sit there and just kind of go and cower, you know, into her tub or anything like that. So I thought that was really, really interesting. Shout out to whoever made Sansa's dress. That was flipping gorgeous.
Even I, as a guy, I was like, man, that's a gorgeous dress.
The whole, and the scene outside, it was so picturesque. It was just so beautiful. I mean, I'm looking at it going, oh my God, this is a horrible, horrible, horrible situation. But it was a beautiful scene. It really, really was, as far as just, you know, when she's getting there to go ahead and marry Ramses.
Let me ask you this. Did you have an inkling of an idea of what was going to happen at the end? Did you, like, so you have her in the bath, uh-huh, and she stands up for herself. Like, Sansa stands up for herself, and she makes Miranda feel all shitty because, you know, I'm Sansa Stark, and this is my home, and you don't scare me, and you can leave now. In fact, she won the day before her wedding. She's like, what's your name again? Like, that was a great mind play from Sansa. And mm-hmm. so she gets dressed. She dons this beautiful wedding gown, and it's a completely Stark wedding gown with the wolf fur and the clasp and the – it was just very, very northern, and everything's going great. So take it from there. Did you have any idea that was going to go down the way it did?
Okay, so we're going to fast forward over to, I guess, the wedding night, and Ramses is there, and he is talking to her, and he's like, hey, are you, you know, still a virgin? And she's like, yes, you know. She even stands up for Tyrion. She goes, he's a very nice man. He was a very good man and honorable and everything, and he tells Reek to stay. Oh, shout out to Reek for getting a shower or a bath because he was smelling through the TV. It was really, really bad. And so I'm really glad he got a shower. They let him have one. And he makes, you know, Reek stand there and watch him while he rapes Sansa. And it was god awful. And they, luckily, I'm so glad that they didn't show the rape scene, but you can just see the look on Reek's face of what is going on and how he just completely was just, I mean, the man was a shell of himself. That was just another, like, just, you know, thing that was ripped out of his heart, because he essentially saw his, and as much as he's done to the Starks, that was his adopted sister.
Right.
You know, he was adopted by the Stark family or enslaved, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
No, you're right. No, fostered, basically.
Fostered,
you're
yeah.
right. Yeah.
And,
Alfie Allen, who plays Theon, and I apologize for interrupting, but Alfie Allen is an amazing actor, and that he deserves an award this season just for that scene alone, because, my God, all the pain and suffering that was happening. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on in social media that says that Alfie Allen or Theon / Reek should not be glorified for his scene because of what was happening to Sansa. I get that. I understand.
Well,
it. But
this is
the acting was superb.
The acting was superb. But this is the thing. As far as Reek is concerned, he is a victim. No matter what he did in the beginning to make this all kind of kick off, really, and what he has done to the Stark family, he is also a victim of sexual violence, of, all these things that were going on. So he is just a victim as Sansa is in this moment. He does not want to be there, and if he was able to, he would want to try to stop it, but he has been so messed up. And this is something very, familiar with people who have been kidnapped and tortured and raped and all these things. I mean, they think they have no way out of this situation, and all they can do is just stand there so they don't become the person that is now the victim again, in some kind of sexual thing. But there's been a lot of stuff going on as far as social media. There are many websites out there that are basically saying that they're done with Game of Thrones. And these are really popular websites, a lot of nerdy, if you will, websites that are saying they are done with Game of Thrones because of what has happened to Sansa.
And you know what? I think it's overreaction on their part. And I'm glad that you, as a female, have brought up the fact that Theon / Reek was also a victim. You're right. I mean, he had his manhood cut off and sent to his family. He's been flayed by Ramsay. He's been mentally tortured. I'm sure there's some sexual abuse going on there. Remember when he had the girls come in and tease him before he got his manhood cut off? There was all kinds of stuff going on. And you're right. He's been abused to the point that he's been brainwashed. And so I'm glad you brought that up. Luke, I want to get your opinion on it. Obviously, some of the listeners out there probably don't care about what a man thinks about what happened to a rape scene. But I want to hear what you think. Give me your opinion of Ramsay's horrible act last night.
I don't understand why everyone is so upset, because a fictional character raped another fictional character on a TV show that is known for being as morally depraved as any TV show, I think, in the history of existence. I mean, what did they think was going to happen? Like, I don't understand why people are all of a sudden so outraged by this.
Can I weigh in here?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with you on a point, is that Game of Thrones has been known to use rape as a plot device. I don't understand how anybody, once she had walked in there and she was promised to Ramses and everything, I don't know how anybody in good conscience can say that they didn't think that Sansa was going to be raped by Ramsay. And if you did, what world were you living? Have you been watching this? Have you been watching this show? Because I knew instantly once she was promised to Ramsay that she was going to be raped. He's not going to let her just sit in her room and not consummate this marriage. It's just not going to happen.
He wasn't going to bring her flowers, yes, chocolates, and play some Kenny G in the background.
No, this is not Tyrion. This is not Tyrion. Tyrion would do that, but not Ramses. This is a different person. So if you thought that wasn't going to happen, I really don't understand why. But this is the thing, is that because the show has used rape as a plot device, when there's so many other things going on, I think that's where a lot of people were saying, hey, why can't we go back and this is from the books, I believe. And again, this is what I've read on a couple of the websites that are saying they're not going to talk about Game of Thrones anymore. is that, you know, let's talk about what is it, the Asha Greyjoy claiming the queenship over the Iron Islands, Arya Stark having wolf dreams, you know, or Sansa Stark garnering support in the Vale, or you know, all these other things that they could have done, and they just felt like that sexual violence against a woman is Game of Thrones is go-to format, and they're not wrong. I mean, I'm not saying the people who are complaining are wrong for that. That Game of Thrones goes to sexual violence as a, you know, a plot device and everything. But I'm just saying that, you know, when I was watching this, and Sansa was being basically fed up to Ramsay's, I knew that she was going to be raped, and I mean, I just don't see how. It was such a shock.
How you could not see this coming?
Yeah, I just couldn't see. I mean, I really be upset because a character, our little dove, has been, you know, has been sullied. I mean, she has been dirtied by Ramsay. I would want to go ahead and get a test done if they had tests back then, because he is a sick puppy there. But I mean. I understand where they're saying with so much sexual violence, did the show really need to go there when there's so many other things going on there?
Well, let me have Luke finish because I want to answer your question, but I want to hear what else Luke was saying because and there's some points you made that I want to counter.
I apologize.
Luke, no, that's okay. No, I'm glad you did because this is a very important issue and it's important to get a female's perspective from this. But Luke, continue what you were saying about what did people expect. This is one of the most depraved shows. I get that. So continue your thought.
Well, I mean, that was pretty much the whole thing. I mean, I don't understand what people expected, especially it's not like she married some other house. I mean, she married the guy who fillets people alive. To be honest, you know, she's lucky to even be alive. You know what I mean? Assuming that she is alive, we don't know. We heard screams, and then, you know, we could come back next episode, and she could be dead. You know, so
yeah.
I just don't understand like the all of a sudden outrage. Like, you know, Cersei getting raped. That was, you know, okay, so that was fine, but now we have like one too many. You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, well,
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's terrible, and it's not something that you enjoy watching by any stretch of the imagination. But
right.
To sit there and say like, "Oh, I'm going to abandon the entire show because this happened," it's kind of silly.
I here's my point of view from the whole situation is I agree with both of what you both have great points. If you didn't see this coming, then what show have you been watching? This is not Hello Kitty Island Adventure. This is not the Disney Channel. This is HBO. This is Game of Thrones, based on a book series where sexual violence happens more than you know. In the books, this was a vastly more horrible scene than it was in the show. In the show, all we saw was Reek's reaction, and we heard Sansa screaming. That was terrible enough. That was horrible and atrocious, and it made me sick to my stomach. And it's not okay. In the book, it's a million times worse. Also, to the point of what you were saying, Isis, where some of these people on social media are saying, why aren't we getting Yara or Asha Greyjoy, they call her Yara on the show, in the book she's Asha, becoming queen of the Iron Islands. She never becomes queen. She goes to this announcing ceremony called the King's Moot. She tries to become queen, and she gets shot down and forced to marry into another family to strengthen House Greyjoy's control over the Iron Islands. So that point is moot because she's made to marry a man against her will. Okay, Arya dreaming wolf dreams, that's all nice, and yes, I absolutely wish we could see Arya having dreams of wolf dreams in her wolf Nymeria, who's still out there running in a huge wolf pack in the Riverlands. Yeah, that would be nice, but we're seeing Arya train already. We're seeing a lot of Arya, And that's what I want to see more, is more Arya training and becoming an assassin and being a badass. And we'll see all that. We saw a lot of her in every season. So how much more of Arya do they want to see? Like, this is Game of Thrones. There is violence. Sexual, non-sexual, it's all violence. It's horrible. It's terrible. And it happens. It's happened before. So making these big statements that you're not going to cover Game of Thrones anymore because you want to make a stand against sexual violence, that's all good and well. But let's do it for real reasons. Let's just do it because you think that Game of Thrones is a bad show. Or you think that, sexual violence against women should not be glorified in any way. Fine, make that stand. But don't sit there and say, since after you've been covering Game of Thrones for 5 seasons now, that you didn't see any of this happening.
Well, the thing that I want to clarify is something you said. I don't really feel like the show is glorifying sexual violence. I don't really feel like Ramsay is a figure that anyone loves. I don't know anybody who could have watched that last night and said, you know, this guy is anything but despicable, and this is terrible. So I mean, it's not. I don't think that they're glorifying it per se. I mean, I get your overall point, but just to clarify that.
No, that's a good point. And you know what? I actually feel bad because a couple episodes ago on Take the Black, I actually said that I liked they were making me like Ramsay a little bit because of the actor, and actually, I have to go back and say, I don't like Ramsay. I hate him in the books, but it's the actor in the show that made him a little bit likable until last night, until that last scene last night. And then that's where it was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't look at this guy the same way. And that's unfortunate because the actor really has brought a depth to the character that wasn't there in the books. But now he'll never be looked at the same way again, which is, man, like, think about this for a second. He's a young actor. I believe he's working on a song career. He's trying to publish albums and things. He really did a bad thing last night, and that's going to haunt him for a while. And it's not really fair because he was acting a part, a fictional part.
I think a lot of people's problem with it, though, that we were talking about, is that Jon Snow can be this interesting, awesome guy, has a lot of bad things happen to him and everything, but can be this really awesome, interesting storyline, have an awesome, interesting storyline without having rape occur to him. Why couldn't the justice be done to the same to the women characters on this show? Why does a rape have to be why does a rape occurrence have to be what makes Sansa interesting? You know what I mean? I think that's
that's where I feel like they are missing the point. Is Sansa is not interesting because of the rape, and everybody's saying a lot of people are saying that this is a plot device.
Service. Yeah,
here's where I disagree completely. Is I don't think it's a plot device to push her story forward or Theon's story forward. Although I think Theon started getting power back for himself when he said, when they asked him who gives this woman away to be married, and he says his name. The first time he says his name, Theon Greyjoy, and it's like, okay, he's starting to come out of his shell a little bit. And yes, I believe that having to watch Sansa being raped by Ramsay is going to empower him a little bit. It will, because he grew up with her. I mean, that's unavoidable.
Secretly, I'm going to tell you right now, secretly I was hoping that Sansa had a knife and that she was going to fight back
at least
she was going to fight back.
Everybody I've talked to was like, whenever she undid her sleeve, everybody was hoping she had a knife stuck in her sleeve.
Yes, I was holding out hope for that. And then, when Greyjoy, I thought maybe he was going to get pick up something really heavy behind him or something like that and just bash it on his head. And then he was going to go ahead and take her out to safety. And then Sansa, again, this is all that was going on in my head. And then Sansa was going to get out of there and she was going to go ahead and leave with Brienne. So that was what I was hoping. I looked at the clock and I knew that was not going to happen.
Yeah, No, you're right. So I think we've talked this to death. I think we've talked Sansa's rape scene to just beating a dead horse at this point.
I think people just need time to kind of.
They will, and you know what? People. Where was the outrage last season where Craster's wives were getting raped by the men of the Night's Watch, the men who revolted against the old bear? Where was all that outrage whenever that was happening? Nobody said a word about those poor women, and they were like Craster's daughter wives. So like, not only were they being forced to have incestual sex with their dad, but then they started getting raped by the men of the Night's Watch who killed the old bear, the former Lord Commander. But there was not any outrage back then. But again, we beat this horse till it's not getting back up. And you're right, you're going to see this. This is going to be a hot button topic for the next couple of weeks. But things will simmer down like they always do, and people will begin reporting and talking about the good things on Game of Thrones. Which one thing we did not talk about, and we need to go back and talk about it real quick before we wrap up the podcast for tonight, is the scene in Dorne where Bronn and Jaime walk into the water gardens in the middle of broad daylight, and oh, by the way, just happen to walk right into Myrcella, and then oh, by the way, the Sand Snakes are showing up there as well. So, what did you think of the fight, Luke? Get your thoughts on how all that went down. And was it a better scene for the Sand Snakes than the first time we saw them?
No, it wasn't a better scene, unfortunately. those poor girls, they're trying to be so awesome and badass and everything, but as soon as they started getting going, like as soon as they started like having a fight and like, you know, going to show off like how awesome they are and whatnot, the fight gets broken up, and then they get put in timeout, and you know.
Well, I thought it was poorly choreographed. I didn't think it was a good fight.
I will say, Bronn got cut at the end, and so I was like, I couldn't tell if it hit the skin or maybe just his armor or whatever, but you called it last week saying like his days are numbered, and I'm wondering if a little poison doesn't set in. Overnight.
Yeah, poison spice. Little poison spice. Got a little poison on her dagger.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's Tyene Sand, and she is the Sand Snake who copies her father because he studied poison. She studies poison. So that's just a little – and yes, it did. I wrote an article on Winter is Coming today, and I had a GIF, and you can go look at it, and it's clear. His arm, she draws blood, so she definitely made contact with that dagger. Isis – you are a Sand Snake supporter.
Consider
yourself a Sand Snake, don't you?
Yes.
So how did that feel last night, that whole thing?
I'm going to agree with you. That choreography of the fight was absolutely horrible. Like, they need to call the people over at Arrow, the TV show Arrow, because they know how to choreograph.
Bring some Black Canary on there.
Let's not go that far. Let's not bring Black Canary. Just bring the regular Canary, because Black Canary is not that good. So the Canary, they need to bring the people that choreograph their fights, because they do a lot of multiple people in a fight, you know, fighting each other, and they do multiple camera angles, and it seems like that is the Achilles heel here for this whole scene with the Sand Snakes. It was not impressive whatsoever. I was very disappointed. My bro OTP is about to die, I have a feeling. And if you don't know what OTP means, my one true pairing, and that's Bronn and Jaime for me, is that they're my bro OTP. And
okay, I just learned. So today I learned what OTP means.
Yeah, OTP. Right. Yeah, OTP. They are my bro OTP, and it's, I feel like it's about to dissolve because Bronn, my comedic relief guy, it's so funny because they were showing like the cuts from, you know, what happened like two episodes ago of Jaime and Bronn, and I don't normally watch those, but I stopped what I was doing and watched it. Because I just wanted to see Bronn just be Bronn.
You're down with OTP.
I'm down with my bro OTP, Jaime.
Yeah, you know me.
Yes, you know me. I was as soon as I saw he was cut, I was like, oh, he's done. That's it. He's gone. I love.
Well, there's hope. I'm holding out hope that he gets an antidote or something. Maybe he's saved from the poison. I don't know what's going to happen. I thought it was a poorly choreographed scene. I thought, like, the bullwhip was completely awkward and it had no place. And, like, honestly, if Indiana Jones Spice, that's what I call her, Indiana Jones Spice, if she was fighting any other armored knight in Westeros, she would get her ass kicked, because what's a bullwhip going to do against a guy in full plate armor? Okay, so maybe she might be able to pull him off his feet, but he would just cut her in half. And Bronn almost cut her in half a couple of times. By the way, in a show that ended with a horrible, atrocious rape scene, Bronn punched a girl in the face.
I know.
Yeah, right?
He straight up decked a girl in the face and then taunted her at the end. You fight pretty good for a little girl.
I know. So. That's why I love him. That's why I'm like, oh, my gosh. He was not. I mean, he gave her the respect. He was just like, okay, you're going to fight me, and you fight really good. I'm going to give you my best, too. I'm not going to be like, oh, you're just a little girl, and just try to pacify you. No, he freaking was like, I'm going to fight you. And then he went back later and said, you know, man, you fight good, little girl. I mean, he wasn't being condescending at all. He was like,
he was taunting her. Come on. Well, he was taunting her. Yeah. You fight good for a little girl. He put little in there.
Well, that's the thing, is that that's just the way he talks. He doesn't, he would probably tell that to Tyrion, you know, you know, that's just the way he is. He's like that, you know, backwoods, uncle that nobody really talks to or anything like that, but he comes to all the family reunions, you know, I mean, just the way.
Oh, no way. No, he is not the backwoods uncle. He's the cool uncle.
I guess.
He's the cool uncle that, like, lets you drive his car.
And drink like a beer cool out of his cooler.
Yeah, and drink a beer. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
So, that's going to do it for tonight. This episode was definitely trying. It was upsetting. And I'm hoping that episode 7 – we're episode 7, by the way, this coming Sunday, guys. Like, we're
wow.
almost done with the season. Yeah,
really?
Episode 7
feels like nothing has happened.
I know, man. I got to say, this is not my favorite season so far. I'm hoping some big things come. We have Jon Snow leaving the castle black with the wildlings. Alistair Thorne is telling him it's a terrible plan. He's talking trash to Sam, saying all his friends are leaving. We saw Sansa. That was another thing I was going to say. You said we don't know if she's dead or not, but we saw her in the trailer for next episode in the snow with a hood on, crying. And then she's talking to Theon, saying, my family still has friends. Maybe we'll see Sansa light that candle in the tower, Luke. Maybe that's going to happen next episode. Maybe in Isis, maybe your favorite warrior in all of Westeros, Brienne, comes in and saves the day. I don't know what's going to happen,
Lord,
but we need some big things to happen next episode.
Lord knows that we need to get Brienne involved in this whole situation. Her and Pod, sitting there in some inn or whatever is going to get old. I'm glad that they didn't even show them today. Yesterday. Normally, I'm normally happy to see her, but I wasn't. I really hope that we go ahead and see a lot of movement. But let's be honest. How
we
do
also
you go
have
ahead?
Stannis.
Yes. Oh, and Stannis. Oh, God, we need some Stannis.
Stannis is marching, and we saw him in the trailer for the next episode. He's talking to Davos. Like, we gotta keep moving or we die.
Well, and another thing that I'm hoping for, too, is that we're going to go ahead and get some – you know, action between Davos. I'm not quite sure who I want to kill Ramsay. You know, do I want it to be Stannis? Do I want it to be Brienne? At this point, either one is a win-win.
That's what I was going to ask you guys. That's my last question to both of you. So I'll start with you, Isis. After last night's episode, is there a way that you could be redeemed, that there's a redeeming part of the show? Would it be – what's your perfect ending for Ramsay? Who would you want to kill or exact revenge on Ramsay, and how would it go down?
I would like to see a gangbang of killing between, and I don't know what you would call it. I mean, I don't mean it in a sexual connotation as a gangbang, but I meant it. I know. I don't know what else to call it, but I want Sansa and Reek to be the ones. Reek mostly, because he was the one that has, I mean, granted, he also caused a lot of these problems for himself, but, you know, I really felt like that they would be great to do that. And then, you know, also to see Sansa go ahead and also kill, what's his name, Ramsay's dad.
Bruce.
Yes, that Bruce, yes. Because, I mean, he killed the family. He killed the family.
He killed Rob.
Yeah.
And Lady Cal.
And his wife, and, yeah, and the baby, and all that stuff. So that would be, and
so
then how badass would it be that they kill all those people, and she just walks out, and Stannis is like, hey, we're here to free you. And she's like, done.
I don't need you.
I don't even need you. I did it myself.
I think, honestly, for the show to be redeemed in the eyes of all these social justice warriors on social media who are claiming a holy war against Game of Thrones right now, it would have to be something for Sansa to do. Luke, what would be your perfect ending to Ramsay's rule, reign of terror over Sansa?
So, I mean, you know, if it would be, it would probably be Sansa or maybe Reek, one of those. But to me, that makes the most sense, and I feel like Ramsay would be sort of okay with that. You know, like, like, okay, you killed me, that makes sense, whatever. So what I would really enjoy is if Roose Bolton stabbed his son in the chest face-to-face and said, I should have done this a long time ago.
Oh.
Because at that point, Ramsay, his entire life has been trying to become a Bolton and to, like, have his dad kill him and say mean things to him while he did it. To me, that would be, like, the just desserts that he deserves.
That would be so awesome. You need to write for Game of Thrones. That would be an amazing ending. I think that – do you guys remember back in season 3 when Lady Catelyn, Jaime and Brienne were on the road trying to get to King's Landing, and they come across that group of men who stop them, and Brienne ends up killing them all. You remember that scene?
Yeah.
There's a part in that scene where she takes a sword and shoves it up a guy's ass. If you remember that part.
No, I don't.
I don't know if you remember. No,
I may have blocked it out.
Yeah, well, no. Yeah, it's horrible. It's terrifying. But, like, they had raped and hung a girl from a tree. And so she's like, I'm going to get revenge. So she fights them. She kills all three of them. She kills two of them. And the guy's on the ground begging for mercy. And she just, like, sticks the sword up his ass and slowly shoves it up his bunghole all the way up through his body. And she's talking shit to him as she's shoving the sword up his ass. I would like to see some kind of ending like that for Ramsay. Like, I would like to see Brienne bust in, take charge, after Roos has stabbed Ramsay in the chest and talk shit to him. He's not dead yet. Brienne bust in, kills Roos, and while Ramsay's laying on the ground dying, Sansa takes Brienne's sword, which, by the way, is melted down from her dad's sword, Ice, and it's called Oathkeeper. She takes Oathkeeper and shoves it up Ramsay's ass. That would be great. I would be completely satisfied. So,
well, you got to cut his penis off first.
You got to. Well, let Reek do that.
Yeah.
No, the cock vendor will take care of that kind of stuff.
they'll call a cock merchant.
Yeah, the cock merchant
will take
care
of that. All the way
around,
guys. We have just come. We went.
We've come full circle, and I think there's no better way to end it than on cock merchant. Thanks for listening tonight, guys. Hopefully next week won't be as traumatic, and maybe we'll get a little satisfying revenge. I don't know. It's Game of Thrones, so that means probably not. Thanks for listening. I am House Razor on Twitter. My co-host Isis is
IJAMELTON, and also on Tumblr as Superhero-OmightyIsis.
Awesome. And my other co-host, Luke.
At Turner Luke.
At Turner Luke. All right, guys, thanks for listening, and I know we've said this 3 or 4 times, but we will talk to you next week. This has been Take the Black.
Love you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.